So to start with, Bermuda grass is a warm season perennial grass, and it's highly responsive to nitrogen fertilization and requires large amounts of nitrogen to maintain its forage yield and nutrient value. The use of Bermuda grass is growing in Kentucky, and we have, from previous studies, we have seen that for maximum production, approximately 380 pounds of nitrogen per acre is needed. The use of fertilizer is really important for Bermuda grass, especially other warm season grasses, because their nutrient value is a lot lower than cool season grasses. And by using nitrogen fertilizer, you can increase the crude protein and total digestible nutrients. So that's where we want to look at enhanced efficiency fertilizers. We want to see if large amounts of nitrogen, they do produce a lot of disadvantages, and hopefully enhanced efficiency fertilizers can kind of reduce these disadvantages. So enhanced efficiency fertilizers increase the nitrogen availability in the soil and the uptake by the plants. The two main types are slow release or controlled release fertilizers, and these are usually coatings or different chemical formulations that match the supply of nitrogen being released from the fertilizer to the plant's uptake of nitrogen. You also have your additives, and these typically reduce potential losses by slowing down processes within the soil. So some of the advantages of these fertilizers are the increased availability in the soil through a longer period of time, further into the growing season, and also decreased losses due to leaching, volatilization, all of that. You also have a reduced need for multiple applications because it does last longer in the soil. However, there are a lot of disadvantages as well. They do come at a higher cost. They have an unpredictable release and a delayed response upon initial application because they do rely on a lot of environmental factors. And each type of these enhanced efficiency fertilizers kind of have a different response. So it's knowing that response and knowing when to apply it. So for my project, I wanted to look at the effects of enhanced efficiency fertilizers on forages and what some of these advantages and disadvantages are, because not a lot of work has been done with forages. A lot of the work is on either row crops or turf grass. So for my study, I used a Wrangler Bermuda grass pasture. This pasture was established in 2003 at UK Spindletop Farm and was previously used as a horse pasture. We harvested four times, approximately every month between June to September. Our nitrogen applications were applied in May and following the second harvest in July. And our applications in 2013 were annual rates of 50, 200, and 400 pounds of nitrogen per acre. And we used four fertilizers, a urea, SuperU, which is urea formulated with agritane and dicambiamide, which are volatilization and nitrification inhibitors, ESN, or environmentally smart nitrogen, which is a polymer-coated urea, and branched-chain methylene urea. ESN and BCMU are both the slow-release or controlled-release fertilizers. For 2014, we applied annual rates of 50, 100, 200, and 400 pounds of nitrogen per acre. We had the urea, SuperU, ESN, and methylene urea treatments, as well as a urea plus agritane treatment. And again, the agritane is a inhibitor reducing your volatilization. We also had a control for each of these studies, for each year. So for nutrient value, we looked at crude protein, ADF, NDF, and in vitro true digestibility, and these were predicted using the near-infrared reflectance spectroscopy. We then validated these predictions using the Kelgen method for crude protein and the income fiber bag method for all other parameters. For statistical analysis, I used SAS 9.3. It was a randomized complete block design with harvest as a repeated measure. We used polynomial orthogonal contrast to determine the order of regressions between dependent variables and nitrogen fertilizer rate. And then LS means was used to compare the means on the main effects. We also used 0.05 as our significance level. So I want to start out looking at 2013 individual harvests. You can see on the y-axis, I have forage yield, and on the x-axis, nitrogen rate. Our forage yields are in megagrams per hectare, and nitrogen rate is in kilograms per hectare. You can see we had a curvilinear response. We had a curvilinear response for super U in response to nitrogen rate, and then we saw a linear trend for urea in response to nitrogen rate, while BCMU and ESN showed no significant trend at this harvest. For my next, for the rest of my individual harvests, I just want to explain them to you. They follow the same graph. So for my July harvest, Super U showed a linear trend with response to nitrogen rate, and all other treatments showed no response. For my August harvest, this was after that second application of nitrogen, and we saw a linear trend for all fertilizers. And there was no difference between the slopes of these regressions. In September, BCMU was the only fertilizer to show a response, and this response was linear with nitrogen rate. So for the total yields in 2013, we again saw a similar trend to that first harvest. We saw a curvilinear trend with Super U, and BCMU, ESN, and urea showed a linear trend. And all these BCMU, ESN, and Super U had no significant difference in their slopes. You can see Super U maximized at a lower rate than all other fertilizers. So this fertilizer may be a little bit more efficient than all of the other fertilizers that we used. For our 2014 total yields, we saw a very similar trend. ESN and methylene urea and urea showed a linear trend with no significant difference between their trend lines. And Super U, along with our new treatment, the urea plus agritane, showed a curvilinear response to nitrogen rate, and there was no significant difference between their trends. So we analyzed nutritive value for 2013, and we found that there were harvest effects for all of our nutritive value treatments. ADF and NDF decreased during the season, and in vitro true digestibility decreased, which is typical. However, we saw that crude protein also had an interaction between harvest date and fertilizer type. However, the trends were very inconsistent, and this may be due to the different nitrogen release times of each fertilizer. For our crude protein, I have crude protein in grams per kilogram, and then I have the LS means, and this is by, I averaged these crude protein values between all fertilizer rates for each fertilizer. And you can see for the first harvest, all fertilizers had were very similar in crude protein. For the second harvest, we saw urea had higher crude protein with BCMU being very close. And then for our final two harvests, we saw the same trend. ESN was higher than all other fertilizers, with our BCMU and urea being very similar. So in conclusion, for 2013, individual harvests showed a treatment effect by harvest. And for our total yields, our total forage yields, in 2013 we saw that Super U may be a more efficient fertilizer. For 2014, we saw that Super U and the urea plus agritain treatment may be more efficient. And then our methylene urea and ESN were very similar to our urea treatments. For nutritive value in 2013, we saw harvest effects for all of our nutritive value parameters. And then the harvest effect, a treatment effect by harvest, which was very inconsistent. So what does this mean? This means that we potentially could have an increase in nitrogen use efficiency by using an enhanced efficiency fertilizer on your forages. You can decrease the number of applications by having nitrogen longer in your soil, and as well as increase your grazing season by having that nitrogen available longer through the season. This can also potentially increase the nutritive value of your forage, and can reduce nitrogen fertilizer expenses. We saw no difference between the yields of the urea and the slow-release fertilizers. So if you're looking for just an increase in yield, it wouldn't be beneficial to use a slow-release. However, we saw that Super U and urea plus agritain were more efficient than the urea treatment. But with that, we also saw, you can also see that your agritain is a lot less expensive than your Super U. So using Super U is not more beneficial than using a urea plus agritain. So you can conclude from this that possibly volatilization has a lot more to do with your losses than the Super U, which is further on down in the cycle using your nitrification inhibitor as well. And so the cost of the agritain is a lot more effective for you than the Super U. I would like to thank Dr. Goff and his lag group for all the work that they put in helping me, and I'm open to questions now.
Time for a couple questions.
So it seemed like 200 kilograms of nitrogen urea was linear, while Super U already plateaued.
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
You mean why the Super U was more effective than the urea treatment?
Why is it plateauing at 200 and the other ones are still linear, but at the end of the, with a higher rate, then actually both catch up?
Yeah. We think this is probably due because to the urea treatment having the nitrification and volatilization inhibitors, that maybe there's more nitrogen available initially. Urea probably lost a lot from volatilization or something like that, so there's more nitrogen initially, and then after that second application, the urea kind of caught up. Yes. Yes.
Just a follow-up. You noted the year variation yielded in some of the treatments. What would you ascribe to that?
Can you ask a question more?
The year variation is noted in your observation. What may be responsible for that?
For the differences between individual harvests? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, between year one and year two.
Oh, the differences between the 2 years. Our first year was actually a really good year. 2013 was a good year for Bermuda grass growth. So you can see a lot higher yields that year. And that's probably what's playing a role there. Did I ask a question? Did I answer it?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Thank you.